the white stone. Are you one in the blood or the love? Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that I'm free and I'm washed. Amen. From head to toe. Thank you, musicians. So here we are again, all together, praising the Lord. Amen. So, again, this is the spare tire. I always call myself the spare tire. Everybody's out. But, hey, let them have their phone because I will have mine, you know. So I'm not complaining. I'm glad they're taking some time. The pastor deserves the times. And Andy deserves time. We deserve time. You don't know how hard they work. I mean, I don't work as hard as they do, but they do work hard, you know, preparing and 52 weeks a year, preaching, you know, 3 sermons a week. That's a lot. Always pray for your pastor and glad when we can supply the pulpit so we can at least give them some time to enjoy themselves. So, thank you for coming this morning, and I didn't know how it was going to work. No tie, but I clipped it right there, so it's working. For how long, I don't know, but it's working. Amen. Oh, what a song. I like that song. We sung, you know, it's manifesting time. Because that's where we are. So, and thank you, sister, for that beautiful song. Amen. I wish I can sing. But, hey, that's why God gave different gift. That's not my gift. So I'm so glad that they participated in the service. Amen. And everybody that has a gift should use it. Amen. Amen. So let us start our preaching this morning. I'm going to do more or less preaching, and let's do a Bible story this morning, okay? Amen. I'm more comfortable to bring it this way. Now, sometimes, you know, I forget and I just go to the preaching side. I will try to bring myself back. But I want to do some teaching, some Bible teachings. And let us read from Matthew 6. This is the chapter of the model prayer that the disciples asked Jesus. Teachers have to pray. But I'm not going to concentrate on the prayer. Actually, I'm going to concentrate on this. 3 verses. And forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I told you last time that I wanted to preach in this thing, so I got a chance to do it. So, but if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you don't do, he won't. This is what I call condition. Certain promises has condition. You have to do your part, then God will do his part. But it's not the other way around. And this is one of the things we're going to see this morning. What is our part? Because we want to be blessed. We want to be healed. And we pray for healing, and we pray for that. But we have to do our part because it won't happen, period. So let us bow our head, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed a privileged people tonight, this morning, I'm sorry, to be here assembled together. As far as we know, still in a free nation. We can worship you by the text of our conscience, Father. We are so glad for this, and that we still have an open door in our land, Father. We don't know how long it will be open, but until that opportunity is here, we are going to take that opportunity to preach the gospel, Father, for those that still need to come, Father. We're going to preach the gospel, Father, so those that are there, they can be saved, Father. It's a great thing, Father, to be here together. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your care. And thank you for your blessings, Father. I ask you to strengthen my flesh, Father. Give me energy and give me set myself aside so I can bring your word this morning to your people. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all you have done and you do. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. So you can be seated. Thank you again. This morning, God kind of put a thought in my mind as I was coming. It wasn't part of my sermon, but asked me to look at what year we live in, where we are. Remember Brother Doug was talking about the light has come. The light has bringing us all the way this way. In fact, the light is the light that shines, you know. It's a lamp unto our feet, you know. Without that light, you cannot move forward. Now, remember one thing also, what I just said. You have to do your part, because if you don't move into that light, you know, God cannot show you more light. Right. So we do our part. We need to move to the light. And the more light we move, the more shine, the more we can continue moving forward. So I was looking at what year we are living, according to the calendar, or the Jewish calendar. So here I found that we are in year 5785. According to the Jewish calendar. You know, the 6,000 years are coming to closing. That's how close we are to the closing of this age and moving on to the next part of this, that is chaos, going to be chaos, you know, tribulation times, and then when we be out of here, at least we are 15 years close to year 6,000. It could happen any time between 15 years. I'm just saying, that's how close we are. So, I also find out that the Vatican is celebrating the year Jubilee. 25 is the year Jubilee. And you know what happened in year Jubilee? It is when the land, the people return, you know, the people will rest, and the land will rest. Remember Ruth? She rested. He said, rest until I go and finish all the business, and I will return. So this is the time to rest in the Lord. And then also the slave will go free. It's still an opportunity to go free. See? It is a chance. The door is still open. And we're praying for our loved ones, and those are supposed to come in. See, this is not the time for punishment and judgment. It is time for mercy. The door is still open. Amen. Also, is when debt, now as we read, forget each other your debts, as we forget our debt. But this is the year, you know, to forget debts. Now, of course, it will be in the natural. It is liquidating an account. You know, somebody that we owe something. It could be money, or it could be some materials, or it could be a favor, whatever. But it could be anything, but also talks about a financial account, you know, money. And forgetting each other's of what? Of debts. We're going to get into that in a minute, because this is the time to do this if we want to move forward. According to Jesus, I just read your prayer. We must do that if we want to be blessed, if we want our prayer to be answered. We need to forgive the trespasses. See, also is when the land returned to the original owners. Right. Praise the Lord, you know. Amen. We got a title deed. It's the land has returned. Our, you know, what it belonged to us, it has come finally. So, also, it says it's a profound period. Transition, new beginning, new president, new things. We're transitioning. There's a lot of things going on at the end of this year going into 2025. Transition to a new beginnings, encouraging a spiritual movements, and overcome past limitation. Listen, if we don't overcome our limitation, if we don't overcome our shortcomings, you cannot move forward. You cannot continue dragging this bag, you know? It is just like, according to my sermon I'm going to preach in a minute, we need to unpack. We need to unload. You know, we don't want to cross the river with so much load that we sink instead of going across. We don't want to have so much weight that we're supposed to fly away and we can't even take off. It is not time to be loading. It is time to be unpacking. It is time to be getting ready For he's soon coming. So, it is time also for burdens to be lifted. And had the freedom to move to the fullness of God's plan in our life. I believe if there is a time to do that, it's now. Amen. See, playing is over. Show is over. And we need to move into the what is the real thing this morning. Amen. But the brother says in expectation, he said, now, there's two Holy Ghosts. There's not two Holy Ghosts. The Holy Ghost in me has to do the same thing it's doing you. Not because I'm a minister. No. You're supposed to be changing just like I'm changing. God deals with me just like it deals with you. It is just one Holy Ghost. So we don't should be doing somebody should something different than me, well. And that same Holy Ghost had led Simeon to believe that he would not die until he would see the Lord Christ. You know what he's talking about. That was the birth of Jesus, and Simeon was waiting for. He was an elderly man, and he didn't want to die until. So when the baby came around to be presented at the temple, he has to hold it. And he says, now, Lord, I've seen the salvation of your people. So he says, believe that he would not die. See, the Holy Ghost talked to Simeon until he's seen the Lord Christ. The same Holy Spirit is telling me, now listen, the same Holy Spirit that you have, that I have, that he has, is telling him, something is going to happen. We know that. I'm not planning to stay here for too long. Something got to happen. Brother was preaching. We are near today more than we was 2,000 years ago. I'm not prophesying. I'm not a prophet, but something is going to happen. Now, of course, this is in 61, and then 63, the seats were open. I cannot tell you that's what he was referring to. I cannot read mine. So, but something is going to happen. Amen? And just believe it. And it is telling you the same thing. Who is telling you the same thing? The Holy Spirit. I hope this morning the Holy Spirit is telling you what he's telling me, and he's telling the preachers, and he's telling the ministers. Because it's just one Holy Spirit, remember? He cannot be telling me something different than you. We need to be all in one accord in the same piece of music paper. We need to be all together. We're not living here by parts. So the same Holy Ghost that deal with me, it deals with you this morning. In the same way. We don't have two Holy Ghosts. We cannot have division. Because two Holy Ghosts will bring division. Two women in the kitchen will bring division. You know? As they say. Okay? My wife sometimes gets to the kitchen and wants to help me. I said, no, I don't need no help because I want to do things my way. And she has another way. Not that her are bad or wrong. It's just like I like to do it my way. You know? So, and the same thing with her. She has a way to do things. You know? Even little simple things. You know? I go to the bathroom and to take a shower, and it's a little piece of carpet about this big. So she likes to put it against a shower parallel to the end of the shower. She says, because if I come out, I don't want to, you know, slip in the floor. But I don't like it like that. I take mine and I take the corner and I put it against the corner where I'm going to open the door because that's where it starts dripping first. And then doors don't open like this. Door open like this. See, I haven't told it why I do. So the door is going to start dripping like this right in the whole thing. Now, you do it like this, it goes here, then it goes out into the floor, and you might sleep. But that's my preference. So sometimes I'm taking a shower when she comes in, and she changed my carpet. Then I'm screaming, leave my carpet alone. That is my preference. I don't do yours. I mean, this is little things, you know, but that's just the beginning of the thing. We have preferences. And that's where we, you know, arguments come in the marriage couple. It's not because we hate, we don't love, it's just preference. So when she comes in, I just get out of my kitchen, I'm cooking, and I need my space. And I want to be by myself to do what I want to do and how I want to do things. She likes to cook in high heat. I like to cook in low heat. So when she's cooking, I don't get on her. Why? Because I won't eat. So if she's cooking, let her cook the way she cooks because, you know, she's cooking. And when I'm cooking, I cook my way or she won't eat. So, you know, it's just the way it is, you know. I always said, if you're not doing it, ship it. Let whoever's doing it, do it their way. Maybe you don't like that way, but at least you're not doing it. When you get to do it, you do it your way. And you tell everybody else, just back off. But how did I get there? See? Telling this, oh, the Holy Spirit, you know, tell us the same thing. But what we have our little disagreements is in just preferences, you know. He says, I'm telling you the same thing. Let be expecting it. Whatever is going to happen that I don't know, something's going to happen, let expect it. You don't have to know. You just got to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost that we all follow. See? Follow that expectation that you're going to get. Come with an expectation that God is going to speak to you. Now, let him do whatever he's going to do. I don't know that, but I'm expecting that. See? Now, the next thing he said, let's get ready for it. I think if we need to get ready, this is a year as we go into 25. Whatever we're expecting, let's get ready for it. It will not happen unless you get ready for it. The rapture is past due not because God is holding, it's because he's waiting on you and me. We need to go up, do our part. And then let's make ready. Not only let's get ready, you know, it's good to say, okay, let's just get ready. Okay, let's go on vacation. But where, when, who's going to drive, you know, who's going to pick up all the maletas and all the things that we bag and everything? It is one thing to say, let's get ready when you come to church, but it's another thing to make it happen, to make ready. So that is the part that is our part. Let's make ready. God is saying, let's get ready. But before he can do anything, you have to make ready. Let's take a trip. Get everything packed up. No, this kind of trip, you unpack. The lighter you go, the better. Yeah. We need to get those burdens out, you know, unburden ourselves, unpack. Because the lighter you go, the better it is to take a flight. He says, you unpack everything. Got too much packed up now. See, we need to start kind of throwing things out. The trouble of it, we have to unload, see, unpack and unload. So this trip, you unload. You have to get right in the middle of the road. Now, getting right in the middle of the road has nothing to do with the unloading and unpacking. But in the middle of the road, what it means that don't look left and don't go right. Forget about all this attention, you know, people trying to get your attention, the devil. Let's just focus on what we're supposed to do. See? So this morning, like I said, I want to do a teaching, but I'm going to concentrate on those two verses that I read in Matthew 6, because I believe that God is trying to condition us right now. He's been conditioning us, but it has to end somehow. The outcome has to come. How long is going to be conditioning us? We don't have that much time. So we have to let God do what he needs to do. To condition you to believe his word. Right. See? To condition us like he conditioned Christ. These conditions are just as important as the prayer outcome. See, we put a lot of emphasis on the prayer and what we want. But what about the condition that we should be in order for God to answer our prayer? Because we need to concentrate in the condition. It's just as important as what you are asking for. So that's what I said. Unless you do your part, he said, I will not forgive you your trespasses. So unless you forgive, again, Matthew 6, let me repeat this. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, but if you do not forgive your trespasses to men, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it seems like when I was reading the King James and I went to the NIV, to the New Standard Version, and I went to the Amplified, they kind of interchanged the word, you know, depth for sins. And sometimes they switch things around. And I was wondering, why did they do that, you know? But it's kind of confusing to me, you know. Are we sinning when we trespass? Or when we owe? Or we don't forget? Forgive our debtors? Are we sinning? Trespassing or what? So I started looking at all these things because some version says forgive sins. Others say forgive trespasses. Others say forgive your debts. So, but I'm not going to get too much into that because I'm going to use the King James Version. That's what Brother Branham used. So I'm not going to try to just find problems for myself. You know, I don't need more problems than I have. So leave. I don't want to create more problems. But let me give you an example. I did a concordance. In my concordance, I did a strong concordance. I looked at the word trespasses. And it assigns a little number to every word. So you can search throughout the Bible where that word is being used. So this is what I found. The concordance number for transgress is 3,900. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins, but it has the same number. So that means transgression could be synonym of two sins. Did I pronounce that right? Cinnamon or synonyms or sin, whatever. That's one of, huh? Synonyms. Thank you. That's the Spanish, you know, version of it. There's some words that I cannot pronounce. But anyway, being dead in your sins, same, 3,900. And the uncircumcision of your flesh, he that quickened together with him, have you given you all trespasses. So here we go. Same number for different words. So they must be closer together or similar, you know, to it. So I went to Galatians 6:1. I also followed the trail of the number. Brethren, if a man overtaken with fault. Now fault had the same number. You know? So transgressing is also to fall or have fault. Sinning. See, you which are spiritually restored on one of these spirits of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou shalt be tempted. Then I went to Roman. And then I found another word that says, who was delivered for our offenses? Same word. Same trespasses, offenses, fall. They're all similar words or can be interchanged depending on who wrote, you know, the versions. They decide. But I'm going to stick with the King James anyway. He says, James 5:16 says, confess your faults again. So in the Bible we see that the word trespass, you know, at least to me, I believe it has a more clear meaning. Let me explain that. Remember that Jesus, when he was when he came into those two men, the disciples, they were going to Emmaus, he started expanding on this kind of clarifying. So that's what we do, we're expanding. You know, it's not only sins, but here's some more expanding of that concept of sins, see? So trespasses is overstepping the rights of others, see? We cross the line. It's more or less, it's a little more, you know, a little more clear than sin. Sin is unbelief. We know but what kind of unbelief? Well, trespasses is overstepping. And I told you that we all have a boundary. The world God has a hedge, a boundary in all of us. And for you to cross the line, that means you step on somebody else's boundaries. So you cannot do that. See? Because when you step in somebody else's boundary, you're infringing in their rights. See? Your rights ends where theirs starts. So if you cross the line, You know, you step on somebody else, you know, boundaries. And sometimes we do that. We do that when, We do that when sometimes we're talking to someone and you want to ask a personal question and you say, I hope I'm not, you know, crossing the boundaries here, see? So you have to be careful what you say because you can cross boundaries and the people and the person can get offended. But see, that's what you say. I want to ask a person, but, you know, can I? But, you know, it's kind of personal. I don't want to cross boundaries here. Sometimes we like to tell, a family like to tell another family what to do, but you're crossing boundaries, you're just lying. Because all families are different and children are different. I know how my children behave and I know what to do because God gave it to me and God helped me with them and I know what makes them tick and what buttons I need to push. And you come to me and ask me, I need advice from my family, what to do with that child. I said, I can do that because it might not work what I do for mine and you might not even like what I do to mine. See? So, when we try to straighten out a family, be careful. You step in lines. And what happens? You offend. Because if they don't like what you tell, see, first they ask you for help, and then if they don't like it, they get offended. So, crossing lines, the same thing with our sisters, young sisters, you know, crossing lines. We got boundaries on how to dress, what to look, you know. Men, we got boundaries. The word give us boundary about looking, you know. Women, the way they dress, same thing. Church, boys, we got boundaries here about dating, kissing, being together along with another. We got boundaries. This is not ethics rules that I'm giving you. This is boundaries that you find in the message. Your dress, of course, I don't ask you to put a dress that covers your ankle, but you don't have to put a dress that is over your knee. Or 2 inches, or 1 inch over you. Well, when you sit down, you know what's going to happen. Okay? I knew a sister that she will go to high school, and family was a believer, and she will go dressed nicely when she leave the house, like a message. But she had another set of clothes in her bag. So when she get to school, she go to the bathroom, and she change. But you just cross the line. Oh, but I just want him to cut the ends of my hair only. I don't think I'm... Don't cut your hair. You know what we try to do? Crossing line, we're trying to get as close to the line, you know, without falling. But you don't know who's going to push you. Satan is looking at you. He just needs a little bit. Right. Then you find yourself on the other side. And then you... cross the line. Now, don't let the devil tell you that you went too far, that you cannot come back. That's a lie of the devil. That's a preaching of the devil. I don't care how far I went far. I don't care how far you go. When God starts convicting you, you know, you can come back. But some people say, well, I came too far. Might as well stay. I'm a sinner now. I can do nothing about it. Yes. Repent. Brother Doug was talking. Repent. Don't let the devil tell you that you cannot come back, that you went too far. I know sin will take you further than you want to go. But don't let that devil lie to you. God is waiting. There where you left him, he's waiting for you. In this side of the line for you to come back to Father. He's not going to hit you over the head with a you know, stick. He's not going to you know, send you to hell. In fact, he wants you to come. He's waiting with his open arms to come, just like the prodigal son. He was happy that father when he saw him coming back. He didn't go after him, but the door was always open. And the doors are open this morning. Don't let that devil lie to you, you know? So, crossing lines, that's what trespasses. It's a sin, yeah. But how can it be a sin? The Bible said that if the seed remains in me, I cannot commit any sin. Well, and if you said that you have any, don't have no sin, then we lie just as well. We need to know, you know, and we need to remember when we do wrong, we have to make right. I remember that Brother Branham was talking about that woman that committed adultery when the husband went into the army, the service, and she got sick. So, she went to Brother Branham to be prayed, and she been praying, and she cannot get well at all until he got to Brother Branham, see, and discerned the heart. And he says, Sister, you had done something. when your husband was out, you know, you did this, you committed adultery. Ah, but I already asked God to forgive me. I said, well, the problem is that you did that against your husband and not against God. God will forgive you, but you need to go and what? And make it right. And that's just what I'm going with all this. You know, sometimes we justify what we do, but we need to go back and make things right in order to move forward. God will not bless us until we do things right. Now, there's different kind of sin. There's a couple of sin. It's a sin against your flesh. You commit adultery and fornication. That's you against your flesh. And that's between you and God. But when you commit a sin against someone else, see, that now you need to fix that before you can ask God to forgive you. And that's what happened to this couple. And Brother Brown told the sister, you know, don't worry, your husband has done the same thing. So why don't you get back there? See, Brother Brown said, you already done, you're very just, and you're going to. No, don't let the devil lie. Go back there and make it up. She was worried that if her husband will find out, she will lose it all. See? And he probably was thinking, that's just how the devil is. You know, oh, you did that. He make you do it, then he accuse you. That's how the devil works. And then he tell you, well, sorry, there's no redemption for you. You lost it. You crossed the line. No, no. God is the only one that had that decision, not him. Anyway, and then we find the word offense. It's when you, it's a hindrance to others, see? That's an offense, when you offend somebody. And then you might cause them to fall, or you might cause them to stumble, or you might cause them to make mistakes, see? When you offend somebody else, because that person is mad or upset about something we said we did, and then that attitude can go, you know, a long way. The devil can play with all that. So they come to church and maybe they don't even can see that sister. They can see each other. And I don't talk to her and she don't talk to me. And I go in this end and she goes in that end. You know, things are going like that. You know, but why? Because we have said something that offends somebody. But nobody do nothing about it. And as long as that offense is there, you know, we're not moving forward, period. Because we need to do our part to go and make things right. If somebody do something to you, the Bible says if someone has an ought, A-O-U-G-H-R-T, anyway, against you, but that don't mean that you did something to that person. That means that person did something to you, and he had the duty and the responsibility to come to you and tell you, I'm sorry, but they won't do it. See, it's not you, but he said, if you bring your offering to the altar, your gift, and you remember that your brother did something to you, and he hasn't come to you, and you just waiting, you know, I ain't gonna say nothing, talk to him until he's repents or he's, well, he says, go to that person. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that, and make things right. But he wasn't the one did it to me. It doesn't matter. You are the offended one, and your attitude stinks just about that attitude, so you need to unburden yourself. You need to unload these things in order to go forward. And debt, well, means it's you owe something legally to somebody. I'm not talking about your house or your car, you know. It could be that, loans, or it could be anything that you promised to repay. So, and also sins, and sin is unbelief. We know what that is. And all they describe, you know, one thing. It's all rebellion against God. See? It's all disobedience against God. All this, call it what you want to call it, it's all, you know, what separates us from God until we can close that gap. Amen. Until we do something about it. You know, we want to be blessed this morning, but we got to do our part. You got to do your part. I got to do my part. Well, God bless me anytime. Well, the problem is, the church is, you may be sick and the church prays for you and God will honor that and cover you. And that's what Brother Branham says, and I read it, and our pastor, you know, sometimes your children is misbehaving and you tell your children at home, you know, I'm not praying for you and I'm going to ask the church not to pray for you anymore. If you're going to live that way, And what happened? Either straight out or gets worse. I had to do that with one of my children. Until today, she regret. He said, but you didn't do it to Carlos, or you didn't do it to so. I got different children. I had to treat children differently. I don't treat them all the same. They are not all the same. But I had to use some things for someone and some for another one. So I, at that point, was my choice. I said, I'm not praying for you, and I'm at the church not to pray for you and to have the protection. Yeah, you need something, and you're under umbrella, you get protected. But that don't mean that you are right with God. That means people, are in behalf of you are praying, and God has honored their prayer, and you get better, and you think that's God in, no, that's not God with you. That's God with them. So sometimes we have to make those decisions. But we make all those decisions, like Brother Brown says, we need to love. You cannot do it out of love. It has to be that you really, really love. And I love my children, and I don't want to see them out there. So I have to deal differently with all three of them. And I'm glad they're all serving the Lord today. Don't be afraid with the devil. No, you're going to lose him. They're not going to come back. He's a liar anyway. You do what you need. You get right with God. You do what you need to do. And God will take all the rest. Amen. So, Brother Barnes says here, so, as we're looking at the prayer that this morning, God is trying to condition our souls and our spirit, okay, this morning, so we can feed on His Word and be able to manifest the Word, okay? So, Brother Barnes said in expectation, someone says, why? Why do you fool with a bunch of Pentecostals? Asking Brother Branham, holy rollers and so forth. Well, that's where I was sent to. See, that's what I was sent. I'm one of them. So they said, why don't you do these signs? Why don't you go up to the big place and high places and so forth? And you notice that's the very same thing that was said to our Lord. His brethren even said to him, why don't you come before us, Caiaphas, or some of them big places and show yourself, make a show. Show you your power. He says, if you are what you say you are, you are this big fellow, this Christ, let know who you are. Let him know. He said, your days always. Your day is always. He didn't go up to them, but his hour was yet not to come. He was not a showman. See? And I think that's what matters with the church today. It gets too much show instead of enough Christ. This is what Brother Brown said in the show, because when I read you on Matthew 6, you read the whole chapter. This is how Jesus starts. They're asking for prayer, but this is how he started. It started with the gift, the giving. He says, do not let your left hand what the right hand will do. And then when you give, make sure you got the right attitude. Why are you giving? He says, but don't do like they do. Those that they do it for show, so they can see. Like that little old lady came with two mites and the other one gave. I said, she gave more than they gave. Why? Because they gave whatever they had left over. She gave everything that she had. So, no show. See, performance. They go and they love the high places, like Brother Van said. They love to be in the platform so everybody can look at them. They like the front seats. They like to sit closely. And everybody else in the back. See, they desire all these things. So, Jesus said, that's a show. We don't come to church to be seen. Or we don't do arms, or help somebody else with the motive to see who's going to tell me, good boy, you did a good job. I don't care how much money you give in tithing, your pastor, don't even bother with that. That's between you and God. See? So, first thing Jesus addressed before the prayer, no performance, no show. So whatever you do to others, keep it under. Don't let your left what you do in the right. So people can say, how good is that brother, Look at all he did for this. We're not here for that. Then next thing he says, then he goes to the prayer. But before he goes to the prayer and after, then he starts addressing the gift. So he addressed the prayer. He says, when you pray, you know, don't do like they do, you know. But go into your what? Into your closet. See, some people like these flowery prayers and they get in the front and they want everybody to hear and everybody to see. You already have your reward. That's a theatrical, you know, act. And the only reward you're going to get is the glory of the man, not of God. God is not going to be applauded. Oh, my, what the son. He's good. Wow, he has a good way to put those words. Flowery. And I know I'm the worst one, probably. Some people can do better job at praying and at preaching than I am. But, you know, it doesn't matter how you preach. It has nothing to do with anything. Because I'm not here to be accepted by the people. I'm here to be accepted by God. Amen. And that's what it matters here. Check our attitude. So we put that theatrical, you know, thing, you know, so everybody can see. And Jesus said, go into your closet in the secret, and I will reward you in the open. So God is the one that's going to give you the reward, not man. If you're expecting for man to tell you how good you are, that's all you're going to get. But I want to hear the words. Go in there, and I will reward you in the open. And how he do that when it happens. And you don't have to say, well, I'll pray. No, who knows? Many people were praying for the same thing. So then he don't stop there in the prayer. He says, okay, let's, when you fast and when you pray, because, see, the religious people, during worship time, yeah, he addresses the worship. He says, you know, these people that are fasting, and then they put this sackcloth all broken and stinky. They put something on it, and then they deface. Jesus said they deface their faces, put dirt, and do their hair like they look like they just got up in the morning like I do. My hair just goes everywhere. And then they go and walk in the street like, oh, you know. And then some people will say, oh, what a saint. He's fasting. People don't even know what you're doing. But see, that's a performance. It's a show. So he addresses, when you have to read the whole Matthew 6, he addresses all this before in between there, he sticks the prayer. Why? You don't need no tactics. You know, you don't need no little bits that you go, you know. Yeah, tactics and plans and programs. You know, the Lord knows what you have need, and he will supply that. It is not how many bits you counted or not how many you repetition. You know, he says, do not repeat. Forget about repetition prayer. See, he addressed all this. Says, no show, no performance, no theatrical act. The real thing is this. Go into your closet and just repeat this simple prayer. See? So we have to find out what is our attitude when we help somebody else. Find our attitude when we are giving, when we are worshiping, you know. Are we doing this so we can attract attention? That's show. See? Now you're going to say, oh, I better be careful what I do. Well, if it's God doing it, I don't have to be careful. Because I'm not bringing glory and honor to any man or anybody else. It's just God. It just glorifies his name. Amen? Amen. So, with this said, let me finish this quote. He said, he was not a showman. And we are not show. We are the real thing. Why? With so much fear we have in heaven, why we have to put on a show? You know? So, and I think that's what's the matter with the church today, he says. It get too much show instead of, you know, Christ. And then what did Brother Branham said? At the end, it won't be no show. We are at the point that there's going to be no more show. You pray in the secret, he will reward you. See? The show is over because God is not looking at show. And Brother Branham says, this last, it won't be no show. But the Spirit will be moving. It will be doing things. But it won't be, you know what? No show. He says, what we want Christ, no show. Christ, when these conditions went to condition our hearts, Christ want to condition our hearts. When we get to that place, when we get to the place that you are pleasing to God and not to man, when we get to that place, now listen what's going to happen. It's not going to be sure, but when we get to that place, you will find out that God is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. See? Then you start seeing things happening. The same way it happened yesterday, today, and we continue happening. The same ministry that Jesus had, we continue in that ministry, and we will see things going. Well, we need to stop the show. You know. But I'm not finished there. Sorry. Matthew 6, 9. In the prayer, he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as is in heaven. So, what he already spoke in heaven, it has to happen in earth. So that means we should express, we should manifest, we should reflect the word in heaven spoken in earth. That's what we are here for, because God wanted to do that. He wanted to express himself in flesh. Brother has been preaching through all that. So I'm just kind of borrowing the stuff. But God wants you to give him the liberty to express himself. And this is the time. Brother Brown says something is going to change. He spoke about changes, Brother Doug. It is time for changing. We're going to go into 25. And you don't know what's coming. But we know what God requires from us to do. Get ready. Prepare. Unburden yourself. Unload. Unpack. And he take care of the rest. Amen. So let's call this my message for New Year's. Because you will not see me again until New Year's. No, you might laugh, but it's true. I'm leaving this week or next week. I'll be going to Michigan for my sabbatical. So I'll be back at the 2:25. So pray for me and pray for my wife that we have a pleasant trip. And got to take my two kids, my dogs. And that's always fun on the road. Well, my wife, too, we had to stop in, I better not say it. I had to go to in the rest area, so I had to take the dogs to every time I find them, take them out. Anyway, pray for us that we have a safe trip and we can come back again. So this is my New Year's preaching. Let's call it that. So manifesting. So God is trying to condition us first. Now, John 4:17. Here is our love being perfect. Conditioning to get to perfection, to get to maturity, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, the conditioning here is as he is, the conditioning is that as God is, we are. In earth, as he is in heaven. You know, the word that has spoken there, it has to be expressed here. So, because he is, so are we in this world. You are representing God. Okay, remember always that. I don't care if you're a schoolie, I don't care if you're a church, I don't care if you're at work. Your duty is to represent God. So that means you have to be in your best behavior. Now, if somebody, if you say, but I'm not going to do this because I'm not supposed to, the word says, that's not what I'm talking about. It's supposed to be automatic. You know how Brother Brown said that the lamb, you don't have to ask, she don't have to say, well, I need to get some wool, I need to get some wool. In a Christian, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to do that. Or I better not do this, I better not do that, the word, and then I better be careful because the pastor, you know, who is living the life, you or the pastor or somebody else? It is yours. It says, so, love, it says, we are not going to live here until we have perfect love. God is conditioning. And I'm going to tell you what perfect love we do this morning in a little later on. Also, we are here for a perfect character. But let me read you this. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, that's what Paul's saying, I have no charity, profit me nothing. So, you can do all you want to, we can do all we want to, but unless we have love, perfect love, it don't mean nothing. It don't count for nothing. Okay? You guys are sober to me this morning. What's wrong? Do I mistreat you or something? I know you're listening. No, it's a sober message. I mean, I had to deal with it more than once a whole week trying to prepare messages, and I didn't even want to go this way. I closed a few times. I said, Lord, can you give me something more happy or more, you know, glad? I don't want to do this. Well, here I am. I have to do this. It profit me nothing. We're going to deal with this love a little later. Perfect character too. Romans 13 and owe no man anything. So I don't care if it's money, material, an apology. I don't care. We need to unpack. You do not owe anything to nobody. So if you owe something, you need to unburden. You need to unpack. You need to do something about it because God is not going to do anything until we do our part. But it says, owe no man anything. Not even an apology. Okay? It says, but to love what? You know, if you really love your brother and he did something to you and you really love and he, you don't want him to go out that night and die with that sin that you supposed to go and ask him to forgive you, what, you're going to be sorry? Oh my God, I didn't have the chance to tell him how much I loved him. Cannot lay. You do that now. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen after. And if somebody owe you an apology, somebody that had done something to you, offend you, transgress you, you don't want to leave the service until you make things right. Why? Because you don't know that you're holding that over that person. You're holding that over that brother. The brother might have made a mistake or whatever. He wasn't willingly. But who is holding that over his head? I know it's sober. Okay. Okay. But we are not going to get out of here, and we are not going to further move forward and progress until we unload and unpack and get this thing resolved. Amen. We don't want this thing in our church. Amen. It says, but not love one another, but love one another. For he that loves another has fulfilled the law. Love works no ill to his neighbor. So, if somebody does something to you, are you waiting to be vengeance? The vengeance is of the Lord. Try to do something. No, I get him. I will give him a piece of my mind. Well, I cannot do that. I don't have no mind. I lost mine. So, and if I have to give him a piece of mind, it has to be his mind. See? Because if it's not his mind, it's yours. He says, the work no ill to his neighbors. Therefore, love is to fulfill the law. So if you really love someone, it doesn't matter what he done to you. Look at what they done to Christ. And he came because he loved me. Look at all I did. But he loved me. The evidence of love, I told you before, is forgiveness. If you really love somebody, you will forgive them. Now, we're going to deal to the other side of that coin in a minute. But don't hold anything over someone's head because we are not going anywhere. We get stuck in that until things are done right. As soon as you know, you need to make it right. Well, I'm going to wait. I want to wait until I cool off. You need a cool off period, right? And that's probably the way you think about God when you do something wrong. He needs a cool off period. He don't need no cool off period. But if I said, as soon as you fall, as soon as you know you made a mistake, I want to be that I get up right away. Well, you know what? If we don't get up right away, we give chance to the devil to start working. Why not to? You don't want to give the devil any chance. It says, for Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't care your enemy, not only church people. I don't care there, at work, at Walmart. You know, when she give you a hard time, you know, the cashier had a bad day. You know, and you don't like the way she treats you, and then another way she talks to you. The other day I went to do something. I went to, where I was at. So I gave the guy my card to pay for something. Oh, Jesse Penny's, yeah. So I give him my card, and then he says, well, this card is denied. I said, what you mean? Check it again. So it's not. So I look at the card, oh, it's already expired 6 months ago. But since I don't use it that much, I forgot. I don't go out and check these things. You know, so he said, well, what do you want to do with all this purchase? Well, I told him, you know what? Just dump them or something. I can't do nothing. I can pay for them. I had some cash, but I didn't want to use my cash. So he kind of just finished with my car, and he went like this right on top of the counter. Yeah, that's what I did. I opened my mouth, and I said, but nicely, I said, my wife know I wasn't mad. I said, why you do that? So he looked at me like, I gave you the car in your hands. Why did you throw the car at me? That is disrespectful to me. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I was just I was caught up in the moment. And I said, no, if you do it to me, you have done it to others. You just don't start doing something just for the first time. You've been doing this. But anyway, I said, okay, that's fine. Give me my car. Go ahead and I tell you, I take all that stuff, put it in there, where I come this afternoon, and I will pay for it. So I hope you didn't get mad because you had to delete all this transaction. I mean, you get paid by the hour. Do you do or you don't, you get paid. So what is the big deal? It's not like I'm taking money and time out of you. Anyway, God will test us all the time. Don't think we are better. We are tests all the time. And our attitude, we probably depend on the destiny of somebody else, you know. I told him, okay, yeah, I understand. Thank you. Give me my car. And I was nice. I usually get upset. I don't get upset. I went to Pima to get some money out. But I get frustrated. I deposit my check through the bank, you know, a system in my phone. You know, you can do transfers and you can deposit. I've been doing it for more than years. I deposited money the other day, and it was still not in my account 4 days later. So I went to pay for something, and I noticed I didn't have no money, so they had to pull it from my shares to bring them up to. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I went to Pima. I said, I take care of this personally. I don't want a phone they push on hold. So I got there, and the lady was nice, and we was fine, and we was joking. But then when I got to the issue, her face just completely changed. I said, I want to know why this happened. Because if something has changed, I need to know. Because the next check is, I'm in town, and I'll put a check way out there. And if I had to do this, I need to know I just want to know what changed. So I can correct it if it was me. I'm not blaming anybody, but can you tell me why? Oh, I can. Then I started getting kind of, but you can find me somebody that can do it. Because I would not leave here until I find out what changed. You owe me that much, I said. And then I started getting frustrated. I don't get even. I get frustrated and I get, you know, it seems like I'm mad, but it's just frustrated. So I had to apologize at the end of all that section. They gave me answers and they told me what was wrong with the check. I got to get with you, Ali. Anyway, the day was too light. You got a little, you need to have They couldn't see that it was 11. So because they couldn't make it up, they decided to put it on hold. But then instead of calling me and telling me your check did not clear because this is on hold, then I would have said, okay, well, what's the problem? Well, 4 days later, I'm buying and I don't got no money. But it says in the my statement, you have this available, but this is all you can spend. Nothing of that. And the lady said, well, maybe you put another amount that, or it's a greater amount or something. I said, no, I've been doing this for years. Since I've been getting, every month, and a month, I do this. No, nothing has changed in my side. I need to know what changed before I leave this place. But she went and talked to somebody, came back and said, well, I couldn't find out, but I called you, give me your phone. I'm going to check further and I'll let you know. Okay, so I left and she called me and finally, we got it all figured out. So let me take this. I'm getting hot. That's a good sign. I need to move on too because, okay. So let's move on. The evidence of faith is or love is forgiveness. Amen. And I told you that before. He forgave us. Example. Let's go to this example right quick. Matthew 18:21-35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now, the question was sin. Okay? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee unto seven times, but unto seven times seven. So when you get 449, you can stop forgiving your brother. I don't think I do that much during the day to ask God for forgiveness, but I do. So that's an amount, you know, to give you a chance to repent and start all over again. Every time you start with 449. It says, Jesus said unto him, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. Now he's going to give him an example, an illustration, you know, of why you should do this. Now it says, a certain king who wanted to settle an account. What settle an account had to do with sin? See? Account with his servant. And when he had begun to settle the account, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. What did sin have to do with owing now physical, financial money? And we had begun to settle. And when he had begun to settle the account, one was brought to him who owed. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, until the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. He says, and forgive my debt. We went from sin to a financial account to a debt. So this is Jesus relating this. The question was, how many times I forgive the sins that they commit against me? Now he says debt. Now, that's not the end of it. He says, then the master of the servant was moved with compassion. Okay? Release him and forgave his debt. But when the servant went out to find out of his fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, and took him to choke him, saying, pay me. So here, he says, have patience with me. I will pay you. Please, you know, help me. I will, you know, have mercy. Now he goes and takes this guy by the, that's not what they did to him. And that's not what God did to us. Why we do that to others? So the fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him. Now I say, have patience with me. That's the one he used before. He said, and I will pay you all. And then he said, and he will not, but went and threw him in prison. That's what they wanted to do to him. See? Until he fulfilled his pay. So when his fellow servants saw that that had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master or the king all that he has done. Then this master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion to your fellow servants, just as I have pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the tortures, until he should pay all what he do. Now, this is how Jesus finished. So, my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive. Now you say we're trespasses. So it all is related. Sin, debt, trespasses. So, if we don't forgive from the bottom of our heart, you know what that means? You forgive and you forget. Some people forgive and never forget. As soon as you forgive somebody, it is a slate clean. You treat him as you used to treat before that happens. Not trying to ignore him or do something different. See? So, if you do it from the bottom of your heart, see? Now, Matthew 5:23-26 said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has an ought against thee, it says, then leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first and reconcile to your brother and then come and offer the gift. Wouldn't, should be no one here, no one here that you came to church this morning to worship if you have an art against anybody. And I told you what that means. Somebody did something wrong to you, but you offended. So we need to, in fact, we just had communion last time. That's what the communion is all about. He said, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Why wait? The longer we wait, the worse. You know, things don't get better with time. Things get worse with time. So what are we waiting for? Things to, that everybody forget and leave and maybe now I'm free? What are we, as long as that thing there exists in there that you know, offends that debt, you know, God still remember. His mind is still, I mean, the person that is offended, remember? Surely I said to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. So, here we are. This is what we need to do. We need to unpack. We need to unburden. We need to forgive each other. If we want to go forward this year, we are going to have to unload, unburden ourselves. We cannot continue to 25 as we were into 24. Because we need to get better, not worse. See? So if there's anything, if we want to see the same God yesterday, today, and forever, if you need healing, you want to see yourself. If you, whatever you need from God, we need to strengthen ourselves first. But it wasn't my fault. I had nothing to do with it. Fine, go anyway. You have to make it right. Because God is not answering any prayer until that gets done. If you don't forgive, I will not forgive you. The Heavenly Father will not forgive. So that means you will not have what you ask. And then you wonder, why? I don't know what the Lord... I'm not talking to anybody. Maybe nobody here is in that condition, but... All I'm saying is, it doesn't matter how small or how big. God is not in small lies or big lies. You know, sin is sin and lies are lies. They're not white lies and they're not black ones neither. Lies are lies. So this morning, I'm going to continue. I'm going to stop right here because it's already my time. But I'm going to finish tonight. I'm going to give you the sample of what Brother Branham, what the message is about all this. So let's leave it over here. And let us come tonight prepare to finish this subject. And not only to finish the subject, if we need to do something, we need to do it. Amen. We need to do it. Oh, I know you guys are. Okay. I'm not scolding you guys. I do the same thing. You think I'm... No, I had to... every day I had to ask God to forgive me. Every day. Stand. I'm going to stop right here. Then tonight, we finish it tonight. So you go and have a nice lunch. You know, lunch made me happy. Food made me happy. So go have lunch. Make yourself happy. Reward yourself for coming and get happy. Then come back tonight. Amen. And then we finish this because there's some things we need to do still and we need to learn. So trespassers crossing the line. You know, sometimes we like to drive the car closer to the edge. You know, Brother Brian says he want to go up a mountain, and he went and talked to the drivers, and he wanted the one that now wanted to drive too close to the edge. Sometimes we want to live that way, you know, like, Or Brother Brian said, I want the driver that goes all the way against. That's what the word middle road was in his first quote that I read. You know, because you got the middle row, and then you had two edges, that you have white lines, you know. Don't go too far this white line, and don't go too far this white line. Stay in the middle of the road. But some people like to drive right close to the, like me. My wife said, you're driving too close to the center line, because she likes to like more closer to the edge, and to the mountain. I like to drive closer to this line. I don't know. I need my space here in case something happens and I don't want to hit things. I can watch the car coming, so if I need to move, I move. But, I mean, I don't cross the line, though. But I'm closer to the middle, more to this side. Anyway, so that's what Brother Brown's saying, you know, middle of the road. Don't try to see how much you can get away with. But also don't get to a point that you know, that you just kind of, you know, lock yourself in a box like, you know, I better don't do nothing because I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to be blamed. No, don't, I mean, be free. God wants you to be free this morning, to use your gift, to do. If it's the Holy Ghost, there's no problem. You don't have to just be afraid. I better don't say, no, amen, or I better don't scream, I better don't yell, because they're going to think this is a show. You know, if it's the Holy Ghost, we know. Because the same Holy Ghost here, so the Holy Ghost there. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again this morning for your word. Thank you for sharing more light to us so we can continue moving forward. Father, we almost done with this year, Father, and we have another year coming. A year full of uncertain things. A year that will be full of changes as our pastor preached. And a year that we don't know, Father. But one thing we know. We know you, Father. And we know you guide us and lead us, Father, to all good things. You are a good Father. So, Father, it doesn't matter how we move forward. And as long as we move forward with you, like Moses says, I have come this far, Lord, and if you're not going to go with me, I'm done. But as long as you are with me, Father, I can move forward. But for that reason, I have to do something, Father. We have to do our part because He's the one that giving the commands, and we need to pack those commands. We need to obey Him. We need to do as the Word says we should do, and act, and talk, and move, and dress as you want us to dress. You conditioned us this morning, Father. Father, through your Word that is coming forward, chipping away these little things that are not pleasing to you. And thank you, Father, for your Word that do that. And this morning, Father, we like to tell you that we thank you, Father, for what you are doing. You conditioning us to make it to the end. It's just like one that runs, Father, or swim, Father. They have to be conditioned to make the mark. We want to make the end of this. We want to finish this journey, Father. We need to be conditioned by the Holy Spirit so we can make it to the end. We cannot do it on ourselves. And you are giving enough, Father, in the scriptures, enough types and example, Father, so we can take our life and compare that with what your spoken word says. And if we come short, Father, help us, because we want to please you in everything we do. Father, we want to end it. We want to come to the end of this journey, Father. And hear those words, great and good, faithful servant, because you have done what I asked you to do. You was obedient to my word, just like Jesus suffered, but he was obedient to that word, and he learned. So here we are, Father, going through another year, Father. Let this year be the year where you are the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Let this year be the one that you will manifest yourself in your people, Father. Not that we had to do something to great or sing certain way or dress certain way or move or talk certain. No, that we do and be obedient to your word, to your plan, to your word, so we can then let the Holy Spirit change our life to your life as Jesus Christ was. And that's why we're talking about dressing ourselves, Father. It's time we can finish, Father. The times are coming short, Father. They are almost on top of us, Father. We need to dress ourselves. This is not time trying to choose another dress. We've been in this journey too long, Father. For whatever we're missing, whatever we need to fix, a button here, lose a thread here, she will have no wrinkle and she will have no spot. That's what I want you to show me and show us. What do we need to do, Father? Because she will be a virtue, bride, holy, Father, before this is all over. And we think that we have a lot of time, you know. We are almost at the door, Father. How long? I don't know. but I see chaos. I see what's going on out there in the world, Father. Wars, rumors of war, tempests, hurricanes, Father, floods, volcanoes, name it. It's just getting terrible, Father. The signs of the end times are here. And we are going to be also an end time sign. And that is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Father, again, as we leave this place, we never leave your presence and you never leave us. Go with us. And as we nourish our bodies, Father, return tonight to hear what else you have for us, Father. Father, we thank you for your admonishment. Thank you for your word, for the teaching. Thank you for everything you do for us. You love us. You care for us. And you want us to make it. Father, for that we love you. That you had best interest in your children this morning. Help us, Father, to let go and let you have your way in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. He paid a debt he did not know. Our own debt. I could not pay. I need someone to wash my sins away. And now I see a brand new. Jesus paid the debt. Again.